It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Chris Foster. On this edition, a survival story. She was 17 years old in 1984. Lisa McVeigh was kidnapped by a man who turned out to be a serial killer. Through quick thinking and bravery, she talked her way out of it and went on to help bring her attacker to justice. 40 years later, she's a Tampa, Florida police officer. Harris Faulkner tells Lisa McVeigh's story then and now in a 3-part special streaming on Fox Nation, Surviving a Serial Killer. Spoke about that and more, including her 10 years now as original co-host of Outnumbered on Fox News Channel. We offered to turn the TV camera off when she came into one of our podcast studios and curlers, no makeup. She said, nah, you can leave it on. And we talked for longer than we had time for to include in the regular weekday rundown podcast and radio show. So now all of that conversation with Fox's Harris Faulkner on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Harris Faulkner, good to see you.
You too.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
New special, Surviving a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
Now, the special isn't about him, but just for context, tell people who was Bobby Joe Long.
So Bobby Joe Long was someone who was really hunted in the state of Florida. They knew that they were looking for a serial killer. They didn't know who they were looking for. And they didn't really even know that much about his, you know, what they call MO and all.
Sorry, this is the early 80s, right?
Yeah. So with Bobby Joe Long, though, he had killed so many people before he took the victim that I end up interviewing. Mm. That serial killers sometimes will do things along the way. So they were looking for him then.
Okay.
Whether or not the cases could have been built before then, it's hard to say. But I will say this. If it had not been for Lisa McVeigh, who was 17 years old at the time, I think the word survivor would have a completely different meaning in the context of many of the police officers who she works with today. She became a cop. And those who were working at the time. I mean, she didn't know she'd been kidnapped by an actual serial killer.
Right, of course.
And at 17, she was working at the Krispy Kreme donut shop in Tampa. And it's kind of a tough urban space where she was even back then. And what was so amazing, Chris, was she was already enduring sex abuse and physical abuse and mental abuse at home. She was placed in foster care in and out of the system and ended up in the hands of her grandmother, whose boyfriend at the time, her grandmother's boyfriend, was raping her.
Yeah, this wasn't the first gun she's ever had to her head.
Yeah, and she says that. But, you know, the reason that I really wanted to talk with her has to do with a survivor talking. Mm-hmm. I think that when someone goes through something that we can't even wrap our brains around outside of what we see on the news's coverage or maybe a Law & Order SVU episode or something like that, when it's so raw and so real and it happens to someone who's underage, it is something to behold. It is miraculous when they survive.
Well, and what's good about this story is that obviously the prevalence of true crime stories now a lot of times are about the killer. About this, I like that it's a survival story. It's a little bit different, and it's a great story.
Well, I mean, he committed 50 rapes. Mm-hmm. And as I was about to say, I think that when a survivor, with all odds stacked against her or him, can escape and stay intact to help a police force catch the killer, she has to become the story. I mean, there isn't, he would go on to be executed. She was in the front row of that execution. I mean, she must become the story. Otherwise, I don't know how you tell victims to keep hope. Right. I mean, when a survivor talks, we all need to listen. And I feel very passionate about the story because, and it's why I went to Tampa. I wanted to ride in her sheriff's deputy squad car. I wanted to know what it's like to survive, to go through life with so much trauma and so much headwind against you, even after they caught him. She had to keep telling her story over and over and over. And at first she wasn't even believed because she was a kid. Nobody believed her. And it was tough for her, but she's built tough. And I don't think that we get enough of that. I don't think that we, as journalists, as a wider society, get to hear enough of what it takes to thrive. And I always say, you have to survive before you can thrive.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Well, talk about the 26 hours or so that she was with this guy and just how smart she was and just how brave she was. It wasn't that she kicked her way out of a basement window and ran for it. I mean, she talked her way out.
He was raping her, and she quickly figured out his personality type was very much like her grandmother's boyfriend. Relentless in the pursuit of what they want, and vicious and fierce and brutal, you know, physical violence against her. And at the same time, there was a need to be heard. There was room for a human connection, which I would imagine in the household where she was with her grandmother, that human connection for the man who was raping her, her grandmother's boyfriend, was her.
Right.
And in the place of the serial killer, it was her. And they would talk, and she would endure what he was doing to her. And over time, she was able to, and not a lot of time, but 26 hours felt like an eternity to Lisa McVeigh. And when she tells the story, you hear it from a 17-year-old's perspective because she can't forget even her thoughts back then. They are with her for the rest of time. And he would be with her, and she would say things like, well, we can pretend like you're, you know, we met some other kind of way, but I can be your girlfriend. Let me live. She realized she was begging for a life that she thought she didn't want any longer. I mean, after so many issues of in and out of a system that was brutal on her mentally as a young child, and then the physical abuse as a teenager from her grandmother's boyfriend, she wanted to take her own life. And when she was taken off her bike with the wheels still spinning after a double shift at Krispy Kreme, she realized she wanted to fight for her life. And you know, how many of us can say at one point or another in our lives that there was like a flip of a switch when it was time to dream hunt? And that was her flip. I mean, maybe yours isn't going from suicide to survival, but for all of us, we realize if we don't fight for what we believe in and dream, we won't get there. And so there was this gumption and this just God-driven, and she talks a lot about her faith, this God-driven urge to prove everybody wrong, and mostly herself, she is worth the fight. And so she would take out, you know, hair from her own head, and she'd place it as evidence in the bathroom when he would let her go in there.
It's amazing her frame of mind, even thinking, okay, if I don't survive this, I'm going to help get this guy caught.
Yes. I mean, so she would, you know, leave fingerprints behind the lip of the, it's kind of an old-fashioned bathroom with linoleum floors. So behind the lip of the sink, she'd leave fingerprints there behind the toilet. She wanted to leave a mark of evidence behind such that if she made it out alive, she could send the police there. She was looking for clues. She was blindfolded when she was taken, but she figured out that, you know, she could crack a piece of daylight underneath that blindfold. Well, we all can. No matter how tight it is, over time we can.
Yeah.
And she couldn't see him, but she could see the floor. She could see his feet. She could see maybe from the knees down. She could see the gait of his walk. And in the bathroom, of course, she could see everything because she took the blindfold off.
Right.
So it was pretty amazing that that she survived the brutality of him, but that she came out with this notion that I'm going to figure out how to get him to let me go. And Chris, she did.
Yeah.
She told him a fictitious story and said that her father was ailing and that she needed to get home to take care of her dad. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true, obviously, or even close to being true. But he was sensitive to the fact that he was being brought into her story. I mean, with his other victims, he killed them so quickly, apparently, that nobody had a story.
Right.
And I don't know that they would have done what she could do anyway. But he leaves her in this place. He drops her off in the middle of the night. And he says, the next night, 26 hours later, and he says to himself, we later know from when he talked to the cops, this is the end for me. She's going to turn me in. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew. Well, it took her some time to get anybody to believe her. And that is a really sad part of her story. Her grandmother, you know, tried to snuff out anything that she would want to tell anybody.
She was beaten again.
Oh, yeah.
After.
Yeah. When she got home, she was beaten for lying. They, you know, the boyfriend of the grandmother thought, oh, you know, maybe we can stop all of this from happening. Now, from talking to Lisa most recently, because I was just there a couple of weeks ago to shoot the third part of this limited series, which is a day in the life of Lisa McVeigh today. Pretty remarkable where she is fighting crime. But, you know, police had a case that they'd been working, and it wasn't put together yet that it was a serial killer. She gets home. She doesn't have that piece either, but she starts to talk about the brutality. I imagine that that grandmother and that boyfriend probably said, well, when she talks about that, they're going to come for you, which they did.
Right.
Rightfully so. So there was a reason to beat her in
sure.
the mind of an abuser to try to keep her quiet, but she couldn't because she'd been through so much. Nothing yeah. could compare
to that. So they came
for
the boyfriend too.
Oh, they did later. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I want people to really key in on when she tells the story is how much fear she had. I mean, it was just an unbelievable amount of every moment. I'm going to die. This is it. Yeah. I'll say the wrong thing. I won't be enough. I don't want this. He'll know how much I hate it, even though I say the opposite to try to stay alive. So much fear. And to watch her do what she had to do and be that frightened is just a remarkable part of the story.
Yeah, it's. I mean, even knowing the ending, it can be a little tense and a little hard to watch, just the way the special conveys the horror that she went through.
Yeah, and then for her to talk about the need to help victims, that's why she went to the execution.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to hear what she says about that. I mean, I'm in a squad car. First of all, no one drives like Lisa McVeigh. She's driving around this neighborhood. She's got her eyes open for anything that's going on. And we're just talking away about the toughest things on the planet to go through. Mm-hmm. And she's so focused. She's like, I have to do this. I don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. I have to help other people now. There'll be other... She's already helped young victims, young girls and young boys. And she said, I just get them to start talking to me. And then maybe we can start working on a case. She counsels a woman to a young girl. She's not even a woman yet. She's not 18. On how to go to court and get a conviction and what you need. I mean, it really is. It's a primer. And to me, it's also an American dream story. Because with everything against her, she had this dream of being a police officer. She's with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department now in Tampa. And she's applied for the Special Victims Unit, so she'll soon find out if she'll be on that team. But in the meantime, they have enough of those types of crimes mixed in with everything else she covers. So why tell that part of the story? Because when you watch when he takes her and you see the wheels of that little girl's bike turning after he rips her off her bike and leaves it in the street, it's hard to imagine that anybody comes back from that. And she does.
She more than comes back from that.
Yeah. But the night that he took her to, and I mentioned this before, because he'd raped so many people, you could really say he got started before the 80s. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I don't know when the switch flipped for him in the wrong yeah. direction toward the devil.
Right.
It was a lifetime of hell for whomever he touched. I don't know what his lifetime would have been like, depending on the date in which he started, because I don't think we'll ever really know.
Sure.
But, I mean, what he did to others, he killed several women before he got to her. He killed two after. She helped them hunt She helped law enforcement hunt him down when she found this one cop, Larry Pinkerton, a police sergeant who believed her story, but not even at first. And you'll see him, he gets very emotional in the piece when he talks about the epiphany that he has that Lisa's right. And not only that, Lisa was watching the news and had figured out from hearing a story away from the TV inside her grandmother's house, just some details. She said, that's the man who raped me. That's the man who kidnapped me. He's a serial killer. And from there, she helps them piece it together. Bobby Joe Long brought terror and horror to the entire state of Florida. He basically owned the airwaves for a while. And they got him.
So that's all. That's streaming now. Surviving a Serial Killer, three parts on Fox Nation. It's very compelling. And also, while you're here, happy belated anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Actually, it's all week.
10 years of Outnumbered.
Yes.
People who don't know, people who might have come to the show late, just talk about the genesis of it. I'm old enough to have been there for it. Talk about how it started, how it's evolved. I mean, the format was always the same. It was four women, one man. Mm-hmm. My memory is that in the beginning, that was played up a little bit more. Maybe there were more gender-ish issues involved. It hinged on the guy being
in the middle and outnumbered at first. And I am, by the way, and people see me, no makeup on. They're like, who is that person with the big curlers? So this is my kind of prep time for Outnumbered and the Faulkner Focus, which airs an hour before Outnumbered at 11 a.m. Eastern. So about 10 and a half years ago, I went to our then chairman with this idea called the News Cafe. And it was going to be shot on our third floor cafeteria. Mm-hmm. We did two pilots in there. And I explained to him that we needed something across the noon hour because our numbers were sagging. People were getting news fatigue from the morning, kind of the morning news. And we had a lot of co-anchor situations, and then the afternoon kind of looked like that. So we had Fox and Friends. We had a bunch of co-anchor situations. And then every now and then they'd pitch in something. They'd try something new with a solo host or whatever. But what they found was that all those same topics and stories, it was causing some viewer fatigue. And I said, well, why don't we break it out and do something different? Why don't we make it mostly women? Let's be really different. A lot of our issues, no matter what part of our history, American history, hinge around kind of that water cooler talk. So is there room for that in the middle of the day? And it started with all women. All five were women. And the problem, Chris, I found out from the second pilot, because they said, well, we're not going to do this. And I'm like, well, we're not going to do the show? And they said, well,
we're not going to do the cafeteria.
Yeah, we're not doing the cafeteria because we can hear people's silverware and eating. In fact, the second one, we even tried plasticware, and that didn't work because the room was so crowded with us in it.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted to see what we were doing, and it was like being in, like a Christmas window.
Right.
Neiman Marcus back in the day, you know? So we had a final executive level meeting, and Outnumbered was born. The concept that there would be one lucky guy. And from the beginning to us as co-hosts, and for me, the original Outnumbered gangsta, the OG, to me it was always a one lucky guy because he's so fortunate to be around these powerful women.
Mm-hmm.
One lucky guy for some people would take on, oh my gosh, he doesn't stand a chance. And we did have some nervous one lucky guys. I mean, they would sit down and they would want like a primer on how to make the hour work. And I'm like, no, it's an unscripted show, dude. Right. You don't get that. Like, you got to rock and roll. We had some really cool moments in the beginning, but they didn't rate.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm always honest about not wasting the viewer's time.
Mm-hmm.
So I began having like my own little focus groups with my friends and news directors that I'd worked with in local news. And I'm like, what is missing from this show? And they said, news. That's what you do. That's all you do, Harris. Like, you're breaking news anchor. You have six Emmys. That's what you do. And I said,
so it was too chatty.
It was chatty and it was light and it was, but you know what happened? We didn't even get a chance to turn the wheel. Breaking news happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a call down to the control room from our management at the time that said, well, we can't just go off the air. and we've got a news, a breaking news anchor there. Let's rock and roll. Mm. And the other regular on the show at the time, she's been gone for years from us because she does America Reports, mm-hmm. Sandra Smith, amazing. But she was from the Fox Business Network. And so you had news and you had business, and we could rock and roll with anything. We had markets crashing. We had all sorts of things. And so we would just mix that in, and then all of a sudden there might be an entire hour of a breaking news story.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd bring on guests and we'd incorporate the people who were on the couch. We'd find a way through their lanes of expertise. And what we learned is on those days that we had celebrities booked and we knew that there was major news coming into our hour, sometimes we'd have to replace them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's interesting when you, not on a big, big, serious breaking news story. That's a little tough, but it is fun
to see.
Well,
like a school shooting. We wouldn't leave our guests sitting there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it is fun to see people get out of their comfort zone off the top of my, Terry Bradshaw or whatever.
He was,
Terry
can do anything. First of all, his life experience allows him to do anything. But he's also a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And that day he was funny. He was like, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, I don't believe you. And he was, but what he didn't realize was we're going to rock. We by then had hard political topics. We were going into 2016. So we were born this week in 2014. By 2015, the election season's on. So that was like 6 months later. Also, we found out that Sandra was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So she had been during the pilot, during the rehearsals and everything. So that was amazing. So we had a lot going on. So we had like culture, family topics. We had political topics. We had seriousness. We had a mix of light. We did all the things. And doing all of the things turned the wheel for us. We had Pat Benatar and her husband on. I remember we had a harder story that hour. Her perspective was amazing. It's exactly what you're talking about.
That's what I mean.
Like, yeah, it's exactly what you said.
Yeah. What does Pat Benatar think of, again, not a school shooting, but the election or whatever?
Well, and some people have surprised us. And, you know, we have a lot going on right now with protesting, some of it, occupation. And we actually had Occupy. We've had all these things to cover as a network. I remember in the 10 years we have replaced a guest maybe 5 times. And it was fair to them because whatever the topic was, we would ask, the bookers would ask, do you want to?
Right.
You know, we give them the option. But if it really felt like it was outside the bounds and that they simply weren't going to get on because there was so much stuff going on with it. I remember one time we had a toxic train derailment. Well, we had that more recently in East Palestine, Ohio, unfortunately, but there was one previous and there were lawmakers on the train. Mm-hmm. And we had a senator in the seat who knew all the lawmakers.
Great.
And could see them from behind. You can't imagine how helpful that was. He was like, oh, that's so-and-so. And I just had lunch with him and I'm so glad he's okay. And I was like, this is like, I would watch that. And thank goodness nobody was hurt. But I will say now the way the show is in the next 10 years, I want to do more audience shows. Mm-hmm. I've got Kaylee McEnany and Emily Campagno as co-host superstars with me now. I'm so blessed to have them. And we've been together a little under 2 years. So through the years, I've always imagined that we would do more audience shows. We do that sometimes during the conventions. We go out on Fox Square. When we were in a different studio, we used to do it more in Studio D, which is where the Gutfeld show is now. So I would like for us to get back to doing some of that in the future months to come. But, there is one lucky guy, two actually, that we haven't nailed that I'd really like to go for.
Okay.
Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Because he's a big star for broadcast for us as Fox Network. And he loves the show. I met him at the Super Bowl the first time the Kansas City, and City Chiefs.
And you got a little thing for Rob Lowe?
Well, only as an actor.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Wait, where are we going here? I just think he's phenomenal.
It was just a very specific request.
No, because he really is a fan of the show. And I've talked with him. I've chatted with him at different corporate events for Fox. And I'm fascinated by his perspective, and I think our audience would love to know it. And he doesn't talk all that much politics. He's a really super smart dude, and he's warm, and he's funny. He's all that. I mean, he'd be a great one lucky guy. And there's a second one.
Okay.
Chris.
Oh, please.
Come on! You're so smart.
Well, thank you.
And I know you're funny. So Yeah, you got to come on with us sometime.
Maybe we'll work it out one of these days. I'll call my people. You call your people.
I don't have any people. But you can have your people call me.
I got no people here.
No. So this is great. Thank you for doing this, and thanks for celebrating with us. I think it is joy and blessings all around. We started with Surviving a Serial Killer, which drops on Fox Nation today. Get it on foxnation.com. You can register there, or you can, you know, put the app on your phone, but both of them you can watch on your phone. It's fabulous. You get to watch it when you want. And remember, you cannot thrive unless you survive. And then today at noon Eastern, we continue the celebration of a 10th birthday. And as Chris has reminded us, we're all old enough to remember, but we look the same.
Exactly.
All right. Next time you wear the curlers.
You got it, baby. It's good to see you here.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.